I ask you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14, just one verse this morning, Proverbs 14, verse 34. Before we have our children's questions, I want to do something that is probably considered unorthodox. I only do this. I don't think I've ever been accused of being unorthodox, especially in worship, but once a year I do something that may seem a little unorthodox in a worship service. But considering the fact that we are at 48 years since the time of abortion on demand was made legal in our country, 1973, we want to acknowledge those who have survived that. And so if we can have anyone who's was born after 1973, please stand just for a moment. And we praise the Lord that you are with us. There were options, and we rejoice that you are here. And so please be seated. I think that's a very important visual for us to see. Children, here are your questions for this morning. One, whose image are people created in? Two, is human life valuable? Three, should babies in mommy's tummies be protected from harm? And four, we have at least three pregnant women in our church right now. Will you take a minute to pray for them today? Anytime I say something like that or pray something like that, everybody's wondering who it is. If you don't know, you can talk to me after and I'll tell you. Proverbs 14, verse 34, this is the word of God. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we know that sin is always a reproach, and that there is not a single person or a single nation that is above reproach in your eyes. We pray that as we hear these words this morning and as we explore the principles of this and other passages as well, Lord, we pray that you would minister to us. Lord, we are at a mournful state. Lord, we grieve what we're acknowledging today, this memorial of loss and sin in our nation. But now we pray that you would speak to us, Lord, that we might hear. We come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's undebatable that we are responsible to care for helpless babies. I used to begin Sanctity of Human Life Sunday sermons by saying, I probably don't need to convince any of you that abortion is wrong, but I'm not convinced that that works so well anymore. Noticing a very clear trend among evangelicals, even reformed people, at least those who confess Christ, especially among a young generation that has bought into the worldly lie that abortion is, after all, okay. I used to think that I didn't need to convince Christians. I'm not convinced so much anymore because I see many are ignorantly brainwashed to accept it as legitimate. I think it comes from a genuine neglect of God's word, as the writer of Hebrews warns people about not growing, not being in the word of God, not focusing on the word of God, that they can't discern right from wrong anymore. It's very clear that the practice of abortion is unbiblical. There may not be tons of chapters and verses, but the whole counsel of God speaks to life from the very beginning to the very end. We have things like Psalm 139, which is a window into the womb, letting us know that God knows his creatures even from the time of conception. You have things throughout Scripture that remind us again and again that human life is valuable. But not only is the position of allowing for abortion unbiblical, it's also irrational. Because there's no more denying that it's a viable human life from conception. Full DNA from the time of conception for a full human life. And then as you see the baby develop in the womb, it becomes more and more clear that this is a real human being with a body and a soul. Maybe there were excuses in the past, but now with ultrasounds, what they are, there is no denying you can see that baby so clear and so real. And so because we have a better picture now, our guilt is increased because we know even better. It's irrational. But we might expect that from heathens, might expect that from atheists. But it's unacceptable for Christians. We believe that man is created in the image of God and that human life is valuable. And what I would want to ask any Christian, and I would ask them face to face if they try to convince me that abortion is okay, I want to ask them, do you really believe that Jesus would agree with you? Standing face to face with the Lord of all, Jesus Christ, do you think that Jesus would agree with you that abortion is legitimate? I think not. I have preached on this far too many years, and I've not preached on it enough. And I'll confess before you that I've done far too little for the pro-life cause. And I have limited influence, but I have to think that if I have any influence at all on my own congregation, that we can have a multiple effect on the cause for life if we work together and if we do what we're supposed to do. I want to focus on four areas this morning, and I basically want to cover it all, and I still won't cover enough. We'll still fall short. But in each one, I want us to think about what we can do. Different levels. And what might be a very logical thing to start with individuals and to work up towards our government, but where I want to start is with our nation. And we have much to be thankful for. And we have much to be proud of as a nation, but we also have an awful lot to be ashamed of. And the principle applies to our nation that to whom much is given, much will be required. And we stand before God as judged. Now, abortion is a worldwide problem, and the numbers are numbing. We're somewhere in the top numbers in nations of abortions per 1,000 women. But we need to concern ourselves with our own nation that has, at this point, the blood of 60 million abortions on our hands. It's the number one killer in the world. And the numbers are stunning, hauntingly, grotesquely stunning in our own nation. Innocent blood cries out from the ground, like when Cain slew Abel. His blood cries out to God, and so this innocent blood cries out to God. We are under reproach for this sin. We are under reproach from God because of our national sin. We're accountable. I have to read my own quote. I apologize. But a nation that forgets God sets itself up as God and takes upon itself to make decisions for its people to satisfy its idols, even to determine matters of life and death without reference to God's authority and, in fact, in direct defiance against it. We have a lot to give account for. And as a nation, we should get a grip on that and repent. As Augustine confessed in his Confessions, he says, "What I am to myself without you, what am I to myself without you but a guide to my own downfall?" We have forsaken God. And we're securing our downfall if we continue in the way we're going. This is our nation. So let's talk about our Constitution. And what I mean at first by our Constitution is not by our document. It's by the Constitution, the makeup of our nation. It's time for us to stop fooling ourselves into thinking that we have a nation that has a majority of people that are pro-life, because it's simply not true anymore. And there may be lots of nuances in people's ideas of life and ideas of abortion, but we're simply not a majority nation that holds the sanctity of life as sacred. And if we think things are getting better, I think we're deluded. Now let's talk just for a moment about our laws. Now our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. Declaration of Independence: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Somebody tell me how the created baby in a womb has this right in our country. Our Constitution: "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of the liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the USA." Somebody tell me how our posterity has these rights. Secure the blessings of liberty, common defense, general welfare, domestic tranquility, justice? Not so. It's our posterity, very frankly, has the right to be eliminated at will. 60 million. Here's a quote from a reliable resource, January 22, 2021, represents the 48th year of legalized abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy in America. In 1973, 7 unelected judges decided to throw out the laws of all 50 states and to strip human rights from the entire class of human beings, our very own children. Our Constitution, next, provides for us leaders. And our leaders are particularly culpable, responsible, should be protecting helpless babies. But it's quite the contrary. Our leaders, by and large, have led us astray. And it's getting worse. Our new president, who claims to be a Roman Catholic, believes in unlimited abortion and funding it by taxpayers' money up until birth. Our vice president, who should have been influenced by 3 different pro-life, in theory, religions in her life, is rabidly pro-abortion. Rabidly pro-abortion. She likes to call abortion... She likes to call abortion reproductive health. She has 100% rating from the pro-abortion rights group National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Laws. 100% rating, our new vice president. The Democratic Party platform upholds no restrictions on abortion. Our governor is rabidly pro-abortion. Look closely at your senators and your congressmen. But we have rights. And we elect our leaders. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot we can do in this realm except to vote and protest and support the right leaders. Sad fact is, we're outnumbered. But we can't give up. It's frustrating. It's overwhelming, but we can't give up. And so we need to lobby against the pro-abortionists and lobby for the pro-lifers. What about our agencies in our country? Medical facilities, OBGYNs, insurance companies. So many of them openly promoting, some of them performing abortions, some of them bent on paying for, providing for abortions and pressuring companies that refuse to provide abortion insurance for their people, pressuring them to take abortion-friendly insurance. In 2014, 4% of U.S. abortions occurred in hospitals. Hospitals are not generally abortion mills. 1% occurred in physicians' offices. The other 95% occurred in freestanding abortion clinics without any established doctor-patient relationship. 95%. And notorious Planned Parenthood, with all their disgraceful practices, is the most culpable, funded by your tax money, $616 million from taxpayers in 2018 and 2019. They made a profit of $110.5 million in those years. We need to be aware of pro-life medical institutions and support them. Women, check on your OBGYN and make sure that they're pro-life. The insurance situation is so complicated and so overwhelming that it's hard to know what to do about that. It's so entwined that these companies that promote and will pay for abortions are so powerful that it seems like we hardly ever have options, and some of us simply don't. But if you do, take options with companies that don't support and provide abortions. They don't provide, they support and pay for. What about the church? The church is allegedly influential in our society. How do we get here? But don't forget that the church can also have a negative impact on our society. And I believe that the church has been very complicit in many areas of allowing for this to take place. But the idea of a pro-abortion Christian, if that's untenable, because they either don't get God's word or they suppress it for some reason, how much more denominations, whole denominations, that promote abortion? Haven't asked themselves at all seriously of Jesus' position. They've stepped off irrationality into worldly mindedness. I want to stay away from political terms, but you can't help in the theological realm to see these people, these promoters of abortion within the so-called church as leftists and liberals who've thrown out the word of God. There's a group in this past election called Pro-Life Evangelicals for Biden. And in their escape, I believe, from God's word and from reason, or maybe just they're so naive that somehow they thought that through some circuitous miracle, that's my word in sarcasm, by some circuitous miracle that the new administration would eventually lead to an atmosphere of life, a mentality that would support the sanctity of human life. That was their argument. What a joke to think that the new administration will do anything to protect the unborn. and their policies and their appointments will reflect their pro-abortion stand. And these were willing to support that. What about denominations? Let me just list a few. So disturbing. American Baptist Church, the Disciples of Christ, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church USA, that's not us. The United Church of Christ, the United Methodist Church. Hard to even know where some non-denominational churches are on this issue. But it's a travesty why they can uphold such things, let alone denying the fundamentals of Scripture, but denying the sanctity of human life. Why do they call themselves Christian at all? But it's not just those churches, but concern for the soft and secure church, where it's not on our minds, it's not in our view, it's not in our scope on a regular basis. Everything's fine. We are content. We're not feeling it. We are not seeing it. We're not feeling the hand of God on us because of it. So because we're soft and secure, it's okay. But there's another side to this whole thing. And that's where there's a judgmental atmosphere that can very frankly drive pregnant women and their partners away from the church when what they need more than anything is support of the church. And so the church needs to practice repentance. And so as a church, what can we do? We need to be aware and active. An atmosphere of the sanctity of human life and care. In the early church, when the Romans were throwing babies on the garbage heap, it was the Christians who would go out and snatch them and raise them and care for them. Do we have even anything close to that mentality? I hope we do. We can speak the truth. And we can support pro-life ministries. Well, fourth, individuals. So first, the abortionists. I understand that the context of this psalm is not an abortion clinic. It's not doctors who perform abortions and their co-workers. But every time I think of abortionists, I think of Psalm 10. And so let me read to you some of Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs up at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages, in hiding places. He murders the innocent. And I'll just stop there. These abortion doctors are severely guilty, culpable for their behavior. They will be judged. They need to seek repentance for their souls and for this behavior. What about their clients? You may have noticed as the sermon progresses, this gets more and more personal and painful, doesn't it? What about the clients? What about the women who go to them for abortions and their companions? Especially to these places where they're never really given options. If you look at the statistics, you will see that places like Planned Parenthood never, or very rarely ever, talk about options or adoption. And you have these desperate couples, sometimes desperate women by themselves, coming to these places, needing in their minds to terminate their pregnancies, to have an abortion, to take the baby out of their womb. And they go through the procedure. We can't deny the fact that they need forgiveness. They have sinned. And they also need deep healing. They're culpable. They need forgiveness. But they've also, whether they'll acknowledge it or not, whether they suppress it and forget about it, they are wounded inside. And whether they harden or suppress, or whether they're overwhelmed by what they've done, deep down inside, a mother has that connection that none of us men can relate to with that baby. And they're going to be scarred inside. And if they feel it, they may well harden all they can, but they need forgiveness, and they need to be ministered to. They need help. There's a band called Skillet that many of you may not know of. And they have a song called Lucy, and I wish you could hear the song, but the man finds himself at the graveside of a baby that he was a part of aborting. And I'll just read the first part. Picture this man there in his grief. Hey, Lucy, I remember your name. I left a dozen roses on your grave today. I'm in the grass on my knees. Wipe the leaves away. I just came to talk for a while. I got some things I need to say. Now that it's over, I just want to hold her. I'd give up all the world to see that little piece of heaven looking back at me. Now that it's over, I just want to hold her. I've got to live with the choices I made, and I can't live with myself today. And he goes on. He remembers her birthday. And then he imagines holding her hand in heaven. Well, you get this sense, and here's the man in deep mourning and sorrow and grief when it hits him what's happened. And women and men, women in particular that go through this, they need healing. They need forgiveness. And if they can't find it through the ministry of the church, I don't know where they'll find it. Only God can heal the deep wound in the soul. Finally, it gets down to me and you. So we have an individual responsibility to promote the culture of life, to do what we can with our government, with agencies, volunteer, send money to pro-life organizations, as a church, participate in our strong stand, have an influence with the individuals that you interact with. Don't give in to the foolishness, the ignorance, the sinfulness, the evil of the world. There's a baby involved here. We need to make sure, people, that we're being non-judgmental towards pregnant women. However that pregnancy occurred, we cannot judge. However it occurred may or may not have been sinful. But whatever the case is, that needs to fade to the background, because for the time being, we need to be very thankful that there's still a pregnancy and still a baby, and do all we can to help with the life of that child. Are we ready for that? Are we ready to be that culture of life? That institution of life? That supporter of life? Because we're undebatably responsible for helpless babies, and we need to do our part, whatever that might be. May God give us the strength and the resolve to do what we can do to support the sanctity of human life. Creatures created in the image of God. Let's pray. Lord our God, we marvel at your creation. And while we recognize there is certainly a biological, scientific aspect to conception and development in the womb and childbirth, we marvel at those parts that we simply cannot explain. How a wonderful creature created in your image resides in a mother's womb is so far beyond us. And Lord, to think that we so carelessly, as a nation, disregard that life in defiance of you is a travesty. Lord, we have sinned against you. We pray, Lord, for forgiveness. We repent before you. We pray that as individuals, we would have a new view of what human life is all about in a bigger sense, but what human life in the womb is all about and how sacred that life is because you ultimately have created these babies. And help us as a church to do what we can, that we would not forget after today, that we would not become complacent, that we would not be distracted. Lord, we know that we have much to do as a church. But Lord, when we consider the gravity of this issue, Lord, we ask that you would stir up our hearts and use us for your glory and for the good of souls and for the sanctity of human life. And we come to you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.